I welcome Pastor Richard Zevenberger, a Dutch missionary working in Brazil. Good morning.
Good morning, Caesar.
Pastor Richard, what brings you to Poland?
What brings me to Poland? Many reasons. The first reason is because my friendship with my great friend, Pastor Abraham Diamond. He came to Brazil with a big team of musicians, and we arranged some concerts for him to be there, and he preached there, and then we built a friendship. And then he said, you must come to Poland. And then I felt in my heart to come to Poland, to this beautiful country, and God has spoken to me. So I said, yes, I will come. I was supposed to come before the pandemic, but the pandemic withheld me, but the word was there, and now the pandemic almost gone, so I came to your beautiful country.
You come from Netherlands, but now you live in Brazil. Why did you move to Brazil, to the other side of the ocean?
Yeah, I was in the Netherlands. I was a pastor in the Netherlands, and God spoke really to my heart that I needed to go to Brazil. I didn't understand why in the beginning, because Brazil is a big Christian revival going on. The churches are growing. Where in Europe, it's the opposite, especially in the Netherlands, that the churches are getting less. So I said, God, why do I need to go to Brazil? And he said to me, you need to go to Brazil to train Brazilians to do mission to the rest of the world. So I said, okay. Oh. And I went to Brazil, and I'm there training missionaries to do mission work.
So you're training missionaries in Brazil. Where did the idea of becoming a missionary come to? Why did you choose this way of life?
I think there's no better way of life. I believe God's kingdom is real. I believe that this life is just short. God's kingdom is eternal. And there's nothing more important than getting people safe and to go to heaven. And there's a big war going on, a spiritual war, against good, against evil, against God's kingdom and against the kingdom of Satan. And God called me to be a soldier in his army. And I think that's the best thing we can do, saving lives of people. This life is short, but eternal life is for eternity. So I see no higher calling than to do the work of God.
And how were you saved? Can you tell us how did you met Jesus?
I was raised up in a Christian family, evangelical family, my mother, not my father. And so I was learned with the Bible and learned to pray to Jesus and have a personal relationship with him. But we were in a small town in the Netherlands with a small church. So I thought I was the only Christian. So I got very proudful. I got very like a Pharisee. I thought, God needs me. I don't need God. And then my mother saw that, especially because my brother was 3 years older than me. And my brother was a little bit backsliding. He was a teenager going to parties. So I said, I'm really the less Christian alive. So my mother looked at the two of us. And my mother realized that it was not going good. One is a Pharisee and the other one is a backslider. So she took us to another city, to a big youth meeting. And when we came at the youth meeting and I entered the door, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And the Holy Spirit said to me, if today was the day of the great rapture, you and your brother will stay behind and all these young people will go to heaven. And then I knew that I need to repent. I ran forward to the altar, gave my life to Jesus Christ.
Great. And what does your work look like in Brazil?
I do many things. Like one of the things that I do, I'm a teacher at a Bible school, where we train people to become Bible translators to unreached people group, what we call the Green Window. The Green Window is where most of the jungles are in the world, so it's in the center of the world, like Central America, the north of Latin America, South America, the middle of Africa, and then you got all the island groups of Indonesia, Malaysia, Papua New Guinea, Philippines. So there's the jungles. And in the jungles, there live more than 40,000 tribes and people groups that have never heard about the gospel of Jesus Christ and don't have the Bible translated into their language. So we prepare young Brazilians to become Bible translators and to go and to live among those people and translate Bible. That's what I'm doing in this moment. Beside that, I work a lot with university students. I'm the vice director of student ministry called Chi Alpha that comes from the USA. and that is doing the work on the universities with discipleship, evangelism, meetings. So in Obersee, I organize events to train students to start in their university a student ministry. And I'm also a pastor in the Brazilian church, responsible for the English church service in Brazil. The world is getting every time more international. So we have an English-speaking church service that I'm responsible inside the Assemblies of God in Brazil. And I also preach a lot all over the world and in Brazil itself. So I travel a lot, speaking conferences and events. And now I'm in Poland.
And I very much like that you, as I've seen you, you do these things as a whole family. That, for example, this English service that your children are making sound translations, yes. I read in your newsletter.
We have three sons, I'm a wife, and my sons, they are active in the church, yeah. So they do several things. They help with the sound in the church. They also help with recording. We also have, like you, let's say for YouTube. Yeah. So they help with the sound, they help with recordings. They play also music instruments. So now they're also playing in a Christian band. So, and they also help with translating. In the English church service, we do bilingual, so English and Portuguese. So they also help with translating. So they are very, very active. I'm very proud of them. And my wife did an excellent job.
Have you experienced any persecution for preaching the good news?
Yeah, I have. You always must obey God. When God says to go to a place, you need to go to a place. And three times in my life, more times in my life, but I can tell many stories about persecutions because I've been to countries, into places where you're not allowed to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I've preached the gospel. One time even been thrown in jail. So yes, persecution is real. The enemy is real. And the enemy works through lives of people to do opposition against the work of God. But the work of God is bigger. We must not be afraid. And if we go and we do the work of God, we will see the victory. So yeah, if I will talk about persecution, I will be telling you a long time.
Have you experienced any moment of crisis when you thought about giving up?
Yeah, one time I was then in Brazil, sending out as a missionary to Brazil. We came there and we had very few support. So when we came, because of civil reasons, we went out of the Netherlands with a very few support to do the mission work in Brazil, starting mission school, support of a family. And then I thought I will go back to the Netherlands to get more support, and it was a church that invited us to come. So I came there, and then they canceled it. And I invested our last money to come there to get their support, and they closed the door. Then I thought, God, you have no plan anymore with me, because now my last door that I had was closed. But then a friend of mine said to me, come to a meeting, we will pray for you. And we came to the meeting, and there were several men and women of God, and one of them gave a very prophetic word that said, Psalm 91 is for your life. What God says, it's personal for your life. Psalm 91, you will win. You will not be defeated by the enemy. You will win. You will have a big result in Brazil. So I was very happy. But then the devil started to talk to me and said, hey, that's your own flesh. That is your own imagination. That God is telling Psalm 91 is for you. And so I said to God, God, if that's truly you speaking to me, confirm it. And then I was supposed to stay 3 weeks there in Europe, in the Netherlands. And every time when I went to church meeting, every time when I met a Christian, I thought they will confirm Psalm 91 to me. But nobody said nothing about Psalm 91. When I took the airplane, I thought the air steward would talk Psalm 91 to me. And she didn't. I thought the person next to me saw speak about Psalm 91, and they didn't. So when I came in Brazil in the last airport to take the bus trip back to home, I thought, it's finished. God doesn't want me in Brazil anymore. But before I will leave Brazil, I will do still the work of God. And I saw a homeless person on the street, on the bus station. So I went there to evangelize this man. And I won him for Jesus. He accepted Jesus Christ. And then he started to cry. And then he said, I'm feeling God speaking to me. Do you have a Bible? I said, I have a Bible. And God is giving this word to you. He opened the Bible and he spoke Psalm 91 to me. And then I need, God wants me to stay in Brazil. And after that, God did a lot of miracles and God opened a lot of doors. So I stayed in Brazil. But it was a very difficult moment, but God really spoke strongly.
Are students in Brazil open to the gospel, to the spiritual issues?
Yeah, in Brazil, there is, in general, big revival going on. The church is always growing, but we see also a lot of fight. I believe what you have in the whole world in this moment, what in America they go woke. I don't know if you have that in Poland too. Very progressive. It's also now in all the television programs and music. So in Brazil, we see this big struggle. We see the youth wants to follow Jesus. In the same time, we see also a lot of youth that want to follow the progressive culture of the world. So there's this big culture, what we call culture war going on about, is Brazil still a Christian culture or a progressive culture? But we believe and we are fighting that it's a Christian culture. And we see a lot of young people that really wants to accept that and want to follow that and give their life to Christ and really follow the God's kingdom.
And what attitude do the authorities have to your activities?
We are very concerned in Brazil about that, because every time more, by our constitutions and by our laws, the church has a lot of privileges. But there are a lot of political parties that wants to take those privileges away. So we know there is a persecution. So we must be, as Christians, active to defend our rights. So they try to do persecutions in various ways with the government, that we may make not too much sound, or it's very difficult to get license to evangelize on the street. So we see there's a resistance. But in the same time, there are political parties that wants to help us and defend us. So there is this struggle going on.
And what's the situation of biblical Christianity now in Brazil?
Biblical Christianity, the most of the churches grow every time we are growing. So the, let's say, the evangelical born-again believers, what we call, is growing in Brazil. So we are very happy with that. But we know that we need to have really strong Christians. So we focus a lot also on discipleship, not only to win them for Christ, but to discipleship. Because it's easy to accept Jesus Christ, but if you're not really become a follower, then it's easy to fall back in the world. Jesus said in Matthew 28, go and make the whole world my disciples, proclaim the gospel. So we try to do we try to win them and to disciple them. But it's a big battle, because people like to be blessed, but it's difficult to follow Jesus. So a lot of people love to receive the blessings what God needs to give. So they accept God as their Savior, but you need to accept Jesus Christ not only as your Savior, but also as the Lord of your life. So that's what we want to teach them.
Yeah, we observe this great fruits in Brazil. But what do you think is the reason that people in Brazil in recent years, in recent decades, have such need for spiritual life?
There can be many, many discussions about that. What I believe is that in Brazil, many people will say, if you will ask my wife, I will give the answer of my wife first, and then I will say. But wife will say first, yeah, in Brazil, life situation is very hard compared, let's say, to Europe. And then people have no other answers than to seek God, because the government cannot give all the help that you need for the school of your children, or let's say to go to the hospital. And Brazil is a socialistic nation, so everything is free, but the government doesn't have enough money to give what they promise. So people suffer, and because they suffer, the church is open and people believe in God. So they come to the church to ask prayer and to ask help. And then God answers. There is a lot of signs, wonders, and miracles. So people see really that God exists, that God is the same yesterday, today, and all eternity. And so a lot of people come to faith. So yeah, I think that's true what my wife says. Also another thing what I think is that pursuing society in a whole, also the rich people, not let's say the poor people, because the ESL say, hey, rich people can put their kids on the best school, they can go to the hospital. But pursuing the whole is a very believing society, a very, let's say, a society that there are few atheists. So people really believe in the supernatural. They believe in God. And then they have respect a lot for God, something that I think in the Netherlands, I don't know in Poland, but in the Netherlands, we really have forgotten about God in Western Europe. So we became very atheists and we close ourselves a lot to God. And then it's very difficult to do the work of God because people have, let's say, turned their back to God. And that's very difficult to evangelize. When in Brazil, people don't have directly turned their back to God. Even if there are not, say, evangelical believers, they believe in the supernatural. And so that's also one of the reasons that I think there's a revival in Brazil because people are also very open.
We saw also the great church growth in Ukraine, but we don't see it in Poland. We would like to. In Poland, the strongest is the Catholic Church that don't say the true gospel. But now it's losing its status, especially in the younger generation. What would you like to say to Polish people?
Oh, I believe Poland will be a nation that a great revival will happen. I believe that. If I look at Brazil for a very long time, Brazil was very similar. Brazil was the biggest Roman Catholic nation in the world. But you can complain about Roman Catholicism. They even persecute Christians. They persecute evangelical church. They've done that in Brazil. So I believe that you have maybe also have suffered here.
Just a little.
But the Catholic Church still has this respect to the supernatural, respect to God, respect to the Bible, in respect to a lot of Christian principles about family life. So there is some foundation. It was the same thing in Brazil. There was a huge persecution. The Roman Catholic Church very big. Most of the people Roman Catholic. But because they don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, it's his tradition. People were not really fulfilled. People were empty. And it became more like a facade. And then the people turned to the evangelical church, turned to the, let's say, the church that proclaims the full gospel of Jesus Christ. And there was this resistance, but once it was broken, once, let's say, you say the barrier broke down, the huge revivals happened. And now we are seeing every time the evangelical church, some people are even saying very soon will be bigger than a Roman Catholic church in South America, in Brazil. So I believe that same thing can happen here. I believe your nation has this Roman Catholic background, but it is a background that can be a very fertile soil for a big harvest, for a big revival. So I believe God will bless your prayers, God will bless your fastings, and I believe the revival will come, especially for this continent of Europe, because God never gives up on a continent. And I believe God has great plans for Europe. And Poland, as many times when you think, hey, what is weak can become very big. We always look at the big nations in Europe. Hey, was the time, let's say, England was very big. Was the time that France is big. I believe Poland will be a big light beacon in Europe, for the whole of Europe. I believe a revival will break here and will be a blessing for all of Europe.
We'll pray for that and we'll do what we can to make it happen. And what are your plans for the nearest future?
My near future. Now, I'm the first time in Poland. I'm very impressed. I'm very happy to be here. I will be here ministering for 2 weeks. So my near plans is to be a blessing here in Poland. And then I will come back to Brazil. And I'm already planning a lot of activities in Brazil, especially with the student ministry, where I said that I'm also involved. Because of the pandemic, the university were closed, all everything was online, and we expanded a lot on online. We did more in online ministry than ever before. That's very powerful, and that's a word for all of you doing online ministry, keep on doing it. Don't stop because of the pandemic, because God waked us up to go online. So we need to keep on doing that. But now we also need to get back on the university with presence. And our student ministry is students, discipling students to do the ministry. But because everything was online, you could not really disciple new leaders. That was very difficult. So we need to now make new leaders, train new leaders, and get our presence back in university. So we've got some big events that we are going to do all out of Brazil. And the big challenge to in our mission school, we're training people to go to the unreached people group. It's a 5-year course, and we have now finished our first students that we really need to implant on the mission field to get them into the jungle. So that's a big challenge, so we will be working on that too. So that's in my near future what I will be doing very much.
Thank you very much, Pastor Richard Zevenberger, Dutch missionary working in Brazil, was our guest. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Caesar. And thank you, Go Against the Tide. That's a great title, Go Against the Tide. God bless you, my friends. And God bless you all of Poland. I love you. God bless you.